نستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. أما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. Everyone, it's nice to be here again, and we're continuing the talk about what happens to the person from the moment of death till the final destination, whether it's Jannah or Hellfire. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us among those who reside in Jannah and to gather us all in Jannah. He is capable of that, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And last time we talked about, it was the second time we're talking about this long journey that awaits everyone, and we were talking about the grave and what happens to the person in the grave. The first time we met, we talked about the death. We talked about death, and then last time we talked about the grave and what happens in the grave, and what is the punishment and what is the pleasure in the grave, and how to protect oneself from the torment and the trials in the grave. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save us from these types of trials in the grave. And inshallah, today we'll speak about, we'll go back to life, and we'll talk about the signs of the hours. The signs of the hour. Actually, we're supposed to talk about the Day of Judgment, which is the next stage after the grave. But before we start on the Day of Judgment, the person, when he is in the grave, the world is still happening, and the Day of Judgment is not started yet. So maybe we can speak about the signs of the hours, and then after that we'll talk about the first stages in the Day of Judgment, since the Day of Judgment is not just one stage, but more than one stage. Before we talk about the signs of the hours, as I mentioned the first time we talked about this subject, is this is something that is unseen to us. And the way we deal with the unseen, with the things that we don't have knowledge of, we only deal with it from the Quran and from the Sunnah, the authentic Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. It's not up to anyone to claim certain things that would happen in the future, whether it's the sign of an hour of the hour, or things that would happen in the grave or the Day of Judgment, unless it's ayah, verse in the Quran, or an authentic hadith from the Prophet ﷺ. That is the only way we know the unseen or the future, not by fortune teller, not by dreams, not by anything, but the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. So the way that we're going to deal with this is that we only mention the verses of the Quran and the authentic hadith from the Prophet ﷺ that talk about these unseen or future things that would happen. And people have to face it, and they have to see it, whether in their life, if it's the sign of the hour, or after they die, with the journeys of starting from the grave till the Day of Judgment, and then after that, Jannah or Hellfire. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us from the Hellfire. First of all, the hour, or the Day of Judgment, it's coming, there's no doubt, and it's happening. And the Quran is full of verses that talk about the Day of Judgment and how it is one of the pillars of faith. Whoever deny the existence and whoever denies the happening of the Day of Judgment takes the person outside the fold of Islam. And the characteristics of the believers in that they believe in the Day of Judgment, and it's one of the pillars of Iman. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in so many verses in the Quran mentioning that the hour is coming, وَإِنَّ السَّاعَةَ لَيَأْتِيَةَ فَصْفَحِ الصَّفْحَ الْجَمِيلِ, that the hour is coming, no doubt of its coming. And in other verses Allah had mentioned the past tense when it regards to the Day of Judgment, because it's to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is no time, it's happening and it has to happen. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had mentioned that in so many different verses in the Quran when we recite the Quran. The hour is close, it's not far away. As Allah mentioned also in the Quran in Surah Al-Qamar, اقتربت الساعة وانشق القمر, the hour close, is very close in time, and the moon has been split, which is one of the signs of the hour that we'll talk about it, inshallah. And also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in Surah Al-Nahl, أَتَى أَمُّ اللَّهِ فَلَا تَسْتَعْجِلُوا. The order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the day of judgment has came, so do not be hasten in seeking it, because it will happen. And it's something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, that it's very close to a person. اَقْتَرَبَ لِلنَّاسِ حِسَابُهُمْ وَهُمْ فِي غَفْلَةٍ مُعْرِضُونَ. That the questioning of the people is getting closer and closer, and they are in complete heedless away from it. They are in ghafla, in forgetfulness, being heedless about the day that would come, and everybody will be asked and be brought forth about the things that he did in this life. So since it's going to happen, and since it's very clear, it's very close for it to happen, no one knows actually when the day of judgment will happen, when the hour will occur. Not even the Prophet ﷺ, not even any angel, not even Jibreel ﷺ. And that is, nobody would know it except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not even the angel that is ready to blow the trumpet for the day of judgment to start, he himself does not know when the hour would be. So many verses in the Quran that state this fact. يسألونك عن الساعة أيان مرساها قل إنما علمها عند ربي لا يجليها لوقتها إلا هو. They ask you about the hour, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one that has the knowledge of it. He would not reveal it to anyone except when it comes, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in the long hadith of Jibreel alayhi salam, when he came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions, and he asked them about what is Islam and what is Iman and what is Ihsan, and then he asked them about the hour, the Prophet ﷺ told him that the questioned person does not have more knowledge than the questioner. That means he does not have any knowledge of when would the hour of the Day of Judgment would occur. And that is the Prophet ﷺ, which is the one that we get our religion from. So the ones that are after the Prophet ﷺ, no one can ever, you know, predict when would the hour happen or occur, and whoever do this, this is a way of deviance, that they would get themselves busy with trying to expect when is the day of judgment, because there's no use and there's no benefit of indulging in these types of acts, because it's a secret that only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows when it's going to happen. So a Muslim should not waste his life trying to seek and trying to find out when the day of judgment will occur, because it's something that would happen no matter what the person does, but it's a waste of one's life and waste of his effort in trying to seek when is the day of judgment. And instead, as the person that came and asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when is the hour, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him, you know, ماذا أعددت لها, what have you prepared for it? So the most important question is, what did we prepare for the day of judgment of good deeds and things that will get us closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and save us from His punishment and make us among those who enter Jannah. And that is the main concern of the Muslim in this life, and not being concerned of when would the hour occur and things like that. Also, the benefit of studying the signs of the hour, there's so many different benefits to it. Why should we talk about the hours or the sign of the hour, the minor signs and the major signs? What's the benefit of doing this when we can talk about other things that are important? This matter isn't important because it's part of believing in Allah. Believing in Allah means believing in the unseen, believing in the Day of Judgment. And these part of the things that are unseen to us, something that didn't happen, but it's part of our religion, whether it's mentioned in the Quran or the Sunnah. So knowing it, believing in it, increases one's faith, iman, because you had believed in things that are increases the belief of the unseen. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He mentioned in Surah Al-Baqarah about the characteristics of the believers, He said, أَلِفْ لَمْ مِيمْ ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ هُدًى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ. Those who believe in the unseen. So the more you get to know the things that are unseen to us, whether it's in the Quran or the Sunnah, this is a way of increasing one's iman after we're believing in it. Also, when you hear and read and listen about these signs, and when you see that some of it happens, it increases one's faith and strengthens one's faith, and makes the person have strength in his iman. Like, for example, when the companions, when they saw the victory of the Romans over the Persians, after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had revealed the verses, Surah Ar-Rum, that the Romans would win over the Persians after the Persians had defeated them. And when these verses were revealed, the Persians were just defeated the Romans. And there is no doubt whatsoever that they are the more strong and everything like that. But the Quran was revealed that the Romans would win. And that actually happened exactly what, like the Quran had mentioned, after a few years. And so on and so forth were the things that I would mention too, inshallah, about the signs of the hours that already happened and how it's strengthening the faith of the believer. Also, it makes the person have the firm belief in the Day of Judgment, because if the Prophet ﷺ mentioned things that are unseen and it would happen and you see it happening as signs of the Day of Judgment, that means the Day of Judgment is also something that a person, his faith in the Day of Judgment will be strengthened. And there is no doubt in one's faith about the Day of Judgment. Also, the Prophet ﷺ was sent to show us the good and show us the bad. And some of these signs the Prophet ﷺ showed in it, what's the duty of the Muslim, how to deal with these things that would happen in the future. So the Prophet ﷺ advised us on some of these hadith that would be mentioned, inshallah, like how to deal with fitan, with trials and tribulations, and how to deal with the Dajjal when he comes down, the false Messiah, the false Messiah when he comes down, how to deal with him as Muslims. All these things, the Prophet ﷺ, when he mentioned these signs of the hour, he did not leave us without advising us and without telling us what to do, because in case it happens in our life, we have the knowledge, we have the ways to deal with it, so that we'll be saved from these types of trials and afflictions. Also, and the talk will come about that, inshallah, when the Dajjal, his life will be, the daytime will change, which is the first day will be like a year, and then like a month, and like, then like a week. And the companions of the Prophet ﷺ, they asked the Prophet ﷺ, what to do with the prayer. Should we pray it as a day, or should we pray it as a year? That one day, that the length of it would be like a year. The Prophet ﷺ answered them, and he said you should pray it like a year. So this knowledge, we would not know it except by this Prophet ﷺ saying, and he's stating a certain way to deal with these types of tribulations and fitan. And so many different, you know, benefits and for the Muslims to get to know these things that are unseen to us. Now, inshallah, we'll talk about these different signs of the hour. We're not going to be able to finish them all tonight. Inshallah, maybe some tonight, some tomorrow, and if there's still some left, we can talk about them, inshallah, next week, if Allah give us life. But the scholars had divided them, according to the verses of the Quran and the Hadith, into minor signs and major signs. There are minor signs and major signs. The minor signs are divided into maybe four categories too. These minor signs are signs that already occurred and it's gone, something happened in the past, and it's gone. The second category is minor signs that occurred, happened, and it's still happening, and it can be repeated over and over again. So something that it happened and it's still happening, or it's being repeated. The third types of the minor signs are the minor signs that didn't happen yet, and then, you know, these are the three types. And then we get to talk about major signs. So the minor signs are only three categories. Things that happened, things that have happened and still happening, and things that didn't happen yet. And then we'll talk about the major signs where the Prophet ﷺ had mentioned them in basically one hadith that talks about these major signs in which if one happens, the rest comes in very fast after it. But the minor signs, it takes a long time for it to occur. So the first type of these minor signs are the minor signs that already occurred. And again, all I'm going to mention are either verses of the Quran or authentic hadith from the Prophet ﷺ. And that's the only way, again, for us to know our religion and to know the unseen. First of all, the first thing that the Prophet ﷺ mentioned that is a sign of the hour, and it already happened, this is the first category now of the minor signs of the hour that inshallah we'll mention. that has already happened and it's gone. The first thing is the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has been sent as the last messenger from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the messengership of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the first sign of the Day of Judgment. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned in the authentic hadith that was narrated in Bukhari and Muslim, that he said, alayhi salatu wa sallam, بُعِثْتُ أَنَا وَالسَّاعَةَ كَهَاتَيْنِ كَفَضْلِ إِحْدَاهُمَا عَلَى الْأُخْرَى وَضَمَّ السَّبَّابَةَ وَالْوُسْطَى. He alayhi salatu wa sallam said that I was sent, me and the hour, like these two fingers. And he put the forefinger and the middle finger next to each other. And he mentioned that how close he, alayhi salatu wa sallam, to the hour is like how taller is the middle finger compared to the forefinger. See, the middle finger is taller, than longer than the middle than the forefinger. This amount of length of the middle finger is what's left of this world compared to the whole finger, as the Prophet ﷺ mentioned. So the messengership of the Prophet ﷺ is one of the signs of the Day of Judgment. But of course, we're talking about so many years of the life of humanity on earth, and the life which is mentioned in another hadith from the beginning of humanity till the tenth of the messengership of the Prophet ﷺ is, if we compare it to a day, is like from Fajr till Asr prayers. And then what's left from this life is from the tenth of the Prophet ﷺ till the end of life is like from Asr till Maghrib. So there are less to come than what has been already passed before the Prophet ﷺ. And also in the one of the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, narrated in Bukhari, that he said, alayhi salatu wasalam, a'adha sittan bayna yaday sa'a mawti. He told one of the companions, hadith Awf ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, he told him, count six things between now and the hour, and the first one he said, my death. So one of which is the messengership of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The second of which is the death of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Is one of the signs of the minor signs of the Day of Judgment. The second minor sign that already happened and is already gone is the split of the moon, and that is also something that happened at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. One of the great miracles that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, that he, the people of Quraysh, his people, has asked him to give them a sign that he's a prophet. So he pointed his finger to the moon, and the moon was split into half, into two. And they can see this clearly, as Allah has stated it in the Quran, in Surah Al-Qamar, اقتربت الساعة وانشق القمر, that the hour has drawn close, and the moon has been split. And this is one of the things that happened at the time of Prophet ﷺ, and the happening of it is mutawatir. That means there is no doubt of it happened, and so many people have seen it, and travelers have seen it by the pointing of the Prophet ﷺ to the moon, and it was split. And this hadith in Sahih Muslim, narrated by Anas radiallahu anhu, that the people of Mecca asked the Prophet ﷺ to show him a verse, a sign, that he is the Prophet, so he saw them the splitting of the moon twice, as is mentioned in Sahih Muslim. And he told them, be witnessed of what you're seeing. So this is the second sign, a minor sign that happened and occurred, that was at the time of the Prophet. Also one of these minor signs that already did happen is a sign that the Prophet said in the hadith narrated by Imam al-Bukhari. He said, عليه الصلاة والسلام, لا تقوم الساعة حتى تخرج نار من أرض الحجاز تضيء أعناق الإبل ببصرة. That the hour would not occur till a big fire would come up from the land of Hijaz, which is in Mecca or Medina, that the necks of the camels would be lit in Busra. Busra is a city in closer to Damascus. A city closer to Damascus, the Prophet ﷺ said a fire will be around Medina that would let the legs of the camels in closer to Damascus, Syria. That means it's a huge fire that would cause that much effect all the way from down south in the Hijaz area, Mecca and Medina and this area, all the way to the north where Syria is and Damascus is. And this huge sign of the hour has already occurred. And one of the scholars that was living at the time of this sign was Imam al-Nawawi, rahimahullah ta'ala. Imam al-Nawawi, the famous scholar, the one that we know the book Riyad al-Salihin, he's the one that wrote this book. He, rahimahullah, was living during that time, and this actually happened in the year 654 Hijri year, which is around 800 years ago. And this incident actually is mentioned in so many different books of history. Ibn Kathir rahimahullah has mentioned it, and also many of the scholars had mentioned about this incident, one of which actually one named Sheikh Shihabuddin Abu Shama, and he was the judge in Medina at that time, and he wrote a letter to one of his friends describing what happened, and actually it's a very moving letter, but it's in Arabic, you know, I wish I can read it to you, but it's mentioned in the book of history how they felt during that big incident that happened, and it said it was a Wednesday night, and the last third of the night, Medina had shook with a great earthquake, and everybody was so scared. And that happened every day and night for 10 times, and everybody rushed into the masjid of the Prophet ﷺ, and the light in the masjid would be shaking so hard because of this earthquake. And then on Friday, he said, we heard a very loud voices, and then noises, and then after that, there was huge fire outside of Medina, and there was some sort of a volcano that erupted and filled the roads outside Medina with fire and things like that, and everybody was so scared, and they turned to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and making dua, and the leader of Medina at the time, he freed a lot of, you know, people that have been enslaved, and did all kinds of good deeds that he can do, and people had repented to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala out of this horror that they were experiencing. And people from the city of Busra, or closer to Sham, have witnessed or have seen the light all the way that much north, and the necks of the camels would be lit by this huge fire. So this is something that happened, which is the fire in Medina, and it happened in the year 654. But again, the only way that we can know that this happened or this didn't happen is by the sayings of the scholars, because they're the ones that would be able to determine if this is one of the signs of the hour or not, and if it or not. So people, for example, should not just read some of these hadith and would say, well, this is it's like resembling the situation that is happening now. This is not the proper way. It's only the scholars that would agree upon something that happened, that the Prophet ﷺ had mentioned that it would happen. In that case, it's okay to talk about these types of issues. Also, one of the things that occurred is that the taxation that the Muslims would have taken from the disbelievers would stop and would cease, and that something happened after the end of the Muslim empire. And the Prophet ﷺ mentioned that in the hadith of Sahih Muslim, منعت العراق درهمها وقفيزها ومنعت الشام منتها ودينارها ومنعت مصر إرزبها ودينارها وعدتم من حيث بدأتم وعدتم من حيث بدأتم. أبو هريرة رضي الله عنه, he mentioned in this hadith that Iraq will prevent its unit of currency, and the same thing for Sham, which is Syria, the same thing for Egypt, as the Prophet ﷺ mentioned, and you are back from where you started, and you're back from where you started. Usually at the old days, when the Islamic state was strong and all the Muslims were under one border. There was no difference between a Muslim living in Egypt or in Saudi Arabia or in Pakistan or in India or any part of the world that is under the Muslim rule. It's only one big country. No borders between the Muslims. And in that case, there would be taxation, and that is the zakah money, and the taxation, the zakah money was collected from the Muslims, and the taxation from the disbelievers and things like that. And that has been stopped after the weakening of the Muslims. And this weakening was because of the fault of the Muslims by being away from applying the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and being grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of this great religion and being steadfast in it. And that as a result of that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had taken away their power and their strength that used to be on the whole world and had exchanged it for them. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give the Muslims again this strength that they would be back in charge of this whole universe, because the universe needs them, need the justice and need the life of a Muslim that would rule this whole earth that we live in. So this is also one of the signs that has already occurred with, from the minor signs. This is the first category of the minor signs. The second category, which are the signs that already occurred and it's still happening and it might be repeated. This is the second category of the minor signs. One of which are the different wars and the different victories that the Muslims would see after the Prophet ﷺ. And some of these have been mentioned in the hadith by the Prophet ﷺ, like the hadith narrated by Imam al-Bukhari, by Khabbab ibn al-Arata radiallahu anhu, when they went and they complained to the Prophet ﷺ when he was laying down under the shade of the Kaaba when they were in Mecca still, and they asked him, they told him, O Prophet of Allah, shouldn't you ask victory for us? Shouldn't you make dua for us? And the Prophet ﷺ, he then sat down and he said that people from before you, they used to, they would dig a hole in the floor, in the ground for them, and they would put them in it, and somebody would get a knife or a saw, and they would put it on top of their head, and they would be split into two, and that would never make the person, compromise or leave his religion. And they would calm him with the calms of iron, and they would take the skin off of that person, and he would never leave or the fold of Islam. And then the Prophet ﷺ said, "Wallahi la yujimanna Allah hadha al-amr hatta yatiya al-raqiba min Sana'a hatta yatiya al-raqibu min Sana'a ila hadra mawt la yakhafu illa Allah aw al-thi'ba ala ghanamihi walakinnakum tasta'jilun." Prophet ﷺ after that swearing by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah would complete this matter, would complete the matter of his religion, till the rider would travel from Sana'a to Hadramaut, which are two cities in Yemen. He would not be afraid except from Allah or from the wolf attacking his sheep, but you people are in haste. And that already, it did happen after the time of the Prophet ﷺ, and at the end of the life of the Prophet ﷺ, when the Muslims had ruled all these types of areas. Also the Prophet ﷺ said in the hadith narrated by Imam Muslim, تَغْزُونَ جَزِيرَةِ الْعَرَبِ فَيَفْتَحُهَا اللَّهِ ثُمَّ فَارِسِ فَيَفْتَحَ اللَّهِ ثُمَّ تَغْزُونَ الرُّومِ فَيَفْتَحُهَا اللَّهِ ثُمَّ تَغْزُونَ الدَّجَّالِ فَيَفْتَحُ اللَّهِ. Prophet ﷺ said in the hadith in Sahih Muslim that you would conquer the Arabic Peninsula, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would liberate it and would make it for you, and then the Persians, you would attack them, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would make them in charge of them. And it did happen. And then he said, alayhi salatu wasalam, and he would do the same thing for the Romans, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would liberate Rome for you. And that didn't happen yet. And then you would fight the Dajjal, the false Messiah, the Dajjal, at the end of the hour, at the end of this life, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make you win over him. So these things, some of it had happened, and some of it didn't happen as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had mentioned. Also the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had predicted to some of his companions that he would take some of the treasures of Kisra in Persia, for example. When he said, alayhi salatu wa sallam, to Adi ibn Hatim رضي الله عنه, that he people would see and they would take some of the jewelry, whether it's gold or silver, from the kingdom of Kisra, the king of the Persian at the time, and he had given also this news to Suraqa ibn Malik رضي الله عنه, that he would take also from the treasures of Kisra, and it did happen. Also the Prophet ﷺ said as one of the signs of the hour, that إِذَا هَلَكَ كِسْرَ فَلَا كِسْرَ بَعْدَهُ وَإِذَا هَلَكَ قَيْسَرَ فَلَا قَيْسَرَ بَعْدَهُ وَالَّذِي نَفْسُ مُحَمَّدٍ بِيَدِهِ لَتُنْفِقُنَّ كُنُوزَهُمَا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. Prophet ﷺ said that if Kisra, which is, he is the king of the Persian, if he is destroyed or perished, there is no Kisra after him. That means once the Muslim conquered Persia, there won't be any more of these types of rulings of the Persians, and it did happen as the Prophet ﷺ mentioned. And then he said, and if the Caesar, is, which is Caesar, perished, there is no Caesar after him. And then he swears by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that the Muslims would spend of their treasures in the sake of Allah, meaning they would conquer these types of land. And it happened as far as for the Persians. Also the Prophet ﷺ said in the hadith that Allah had made me see the whole earth, and I saw its east and its west, and the kingdom of my people would reach what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had showed me from the earth, which is the whole earth. The Prophet ﷺ said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ دَوَى لِيَ الْأَرْضِ فَرَأَيْتُ مَشَارِقُهَا وَمَغَارِبَهَا وَإِنَّ أُمَّتِي فَأَبْلُغُ مُلْكَهَا مَا زُوِيَ لِي مِنْهَا. And that's actually a good news for the Muslim, that Allah's victory will happen, Allah's victory will occur, and the Muslims will have the upper hand. But that doesn't happen by a miracle or by overnight. It happens by the believers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَكَانَ حَقًّا عَلَيْنَا نَصْرُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. It has been incumbent on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He would make the believers victorious. And there is no doubt about this. But who are the believers? The ones that apply this religion, like the Sahaba radiallahu anhum did. These are the ones that Allah has made them victorious at the time of the Prophet ﷺ. And out of few years, they were the ones in control of the whole earth, because of how they applied the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how they put their trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and did not entrust anyone but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how they had the satisfaction with the religion of Allah, following its rulings, applying its rulings in all aspects of their life. And because of this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tested them in the beginning, at the beginning of the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then victory came to them and they ruled the whole world. And the same thing for the Muslims. Whether they would stand up for their religion and steadfast in their religion, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would give them victory on this earth and in the day of judgment. And if they didn't, then it's trials and afflictions and punishments all over the world. And that is something that is very clear in the history of mankind. Muslims, they have a different way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it for them on earth. If they are steadfast in their religion, if they follow their religion the proper way, and there is no sins and there is no much sins and disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah makes them victorious. If they apply the rules of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on earth, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would make them victorious. And if they don't, and if they turn their backs to their religion and follow the east and the west, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would lift His power and His help from the Muslim, and in that case they would be humiliated and things they would see that they would like, till they go back and steadfast in the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the hadith and had predicted that India would be part of the Muslim land, and that happened, and it was conquered by the Muslims. He said, alayhi salatu wasalam, عصابتان من أمتي أحرزهم الله من النار عصابة تغزو الهند وعصابة تكون مع عيسى بن مريم عليه السلام. This hadith was narrated by Imam Ahmad and Nasa'i, and it's an authentic hadith. Prophet said, two groups of my people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had protected them or shielded them from the hellfire. A group that would attack or conquer India, and a group that would be among or with Isa ibn Maryam, Prophet Isa, Jesus alayhi salam, when he would descend on earth at the end of the days. So the Prophet ﷺ had mentioned that a group of his followers would go and conquer India, and that happened, and the Prophet ﷺ had praised them and mentioned that there are people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would shield them from the hellfires. Also the Prophet ﷺ was asked about which of the two cities will be liberated first is it Constantinople, Constantinople or Rome? And then the Prophet ﷺ said it's the city of Heraclius first, which is Constantinople, and it did happen after the Prophet ﷺ's death, and Rome would happen, and because it didn't happen yet, and the Prophet ﷺ just mentioned the order that which one would happen first, and of course there is no doubt that this would happen at one time of the during the life of this earth. Also, the Prophet ﷺ had predicted that one of the signs of the hour, that the Muslims would fight a people that wear shoes made of hair. And also one of the signs of the hour, that the Muslims would fight those people with flat faces, white faces. And these were, did happen, which is the Turks, after the Prophet ﷺ, and they used to wear shoes made of hair. And that's something that happened after the Prophet ﷺ, which is all signs of the hour, one of the minor signs of the hour. Also, the Prophet ﷺ said that the hour won't occur unless there are liars would come up and they would say that they are prophets. And he said, عليه الصلاة والسلام, لا تقوم الساعة حتى يبعث دجالون كذابون قريب من 30 كل يزعم أنه رسول الله. There'll be around 30 people that would claim that they are the messenger of Allah, and these are one of the signs or the minor signs of the Day of Judgment. Also the fitan, one of the minor signs that occurred and it's occurring and it gets repeated, is fitan, it's trials and tribulations that would face the Muslim, and these are one of the signs of the Day of Judgment. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, in one of the hadith, he came up on the pulpit and he advised people. As Amr ibn Akhtab radiallahu anhu said, that the Prophet ﷺ prayed first, and he was on the pulpit after that, giving us khutbah, giving us a sermon, till Dhuhr prayers, and then he went down and prayed Dhuhr, and then he was standing on the pulpit again, and he gave a sermon, a talk, till Asr, and then after Asr, till Maghrib. And he had mentioned in all this whole day sermon that the Prophet ﷺ gave, about every single thing that would happen after his death till the Day of Judgment. And this, that Khuraysh ibn al-Yaman, radiallahu anhu, he said that the Prophet ﷺ had stood among us and he did not leave anything from that day till the Day of Judgment unless he had informed us of. Some of us had memorized some of it and some of us had forgot some of it. And these are the things that I mentioned now is the hadith. Some of the things that they had remembered of the sayings of the Prophet ﷺ, that these things would happen. The Prophet ﷺ also had mentioned about these trials and tribulations that would face the Muslim. And he said, بَذِرُوا بِالْأَعْمَالِ فِتَنًا كَكِفَعَ بَيْهِ الْمُسْلِمِ, that be in haste and do so much of good deeds before a trials and tribulations that would afflict the Muslim, like the very dark night, when the person would wake up as a believer and sleeps at night as a disbeliever, and wakes up as a believer and sleeps at night as a disbeliever, they would sell their religion by something of this dunya. They would sell their religion by something cheap of this worldly gain that they would get. That's how they had renegated from Islam, as the Prophet ﷺ said, because of the fitan. They would sell their religion out of fear of the disbelievers. They would sell their and compromise their religion out of fear that the disbelievers would kill them, for example, or because of to get status in this life from the disbelievers, and they would tell their religion, which is a great fitna by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that would afflict the Muslims. So these are things that the Prophet ﷺ had predicted to happen. Also, a time when there's so much trials and tribulations to the extent that a man would pass by a grave of another man, and he would say, I wish I was in his place. People would wish that they would have been dead, that they be saved from these trials and tribulations that would occur. As hadith in Bukhari and Muslim, the Prophet ﷺ said, لَا تَقُومُ السَّاعَةَ حَتَّى يَمُرَ الرَّجُلِ لِقَبْرِ الرَّجُلِ فَيَقُولُ يَا لَيْتَنِي كُنْتُ مَكَانَهُ, that the hour won't occur unless or till a man would walk by the grave of another and he would say, I wish I was in his place. And the major reasons why these fitan, tribulations and tests and trials would occur is because of the lack of the knowledge. among people, and the spread of ignorance, and people will turn away from their religion and Islam and be in a state of forgetfulness and committing sins and disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet has mentioned that in the hadith, and he said, إِنَّ بَيْنَ هَذَا السَّاعَ أَيَّامًا يَنْزِلُ فِيهَا الْجَهْلُ وَيُرْفَعُ الْعِلْمُ وَيَكْثُرُ الْهَرَجُ وَالْهَرَجُ هُوَ الْقَتْلُ أَخْرَجَهُ الْبُخَارِي وَمُسْلِمُ. This hadith narrated by Bukhari and Muslim, the Prophet said that closer to the hour, closer to the day of judgment, there will be days when ignorance will prevail and the knowledge will be lifted and there will increase al-haraj. Haraj will be so much. And al-haraj is killing. There will be so much killing. People will be killed and they don't know why they're being killed for. People will be bombed when they don't know why they're being bombed for. That's how so much killing would be spread on earth, when people do not know why they are being killed. And so many hadith of with this the regard about the increase of the killing and Muslims killing Muslims and things like that, which is part of the fitna and tribulation before the Day of Judgment. Also, one of the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ mentioned about the signs of the hour of the fitna, that the knowledge will be lifted and ignorance will prevail, and zina, fornication, will be increasing, and also drinking alcohol, and men will be less and women will be more, to the extent of for each 50 women there will be one man. And another hadith, the Prophet also mentioned that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not take the knowledge out of the chest or the heart of his people or the scholars, but rather he takes or lifts knowledge by the death of the scholars. So usually death of the scholars is a sign of a bad trials and tribulations for the people, because the death of a scholar is a great loss, because he dies with his knowledge and there will be more ignorance prevailing and not knowledge, from people turning to ignorant people to answer their questions and to give them guidance. They would guide them to the hellfire instead, and that's a great fitna and a great trial and tribulation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as I said, the increase of killing on earth is one of the signs of the Day of Judgment, to the extent that the person is being killed does not know why he's being killed for. And he said, alayhi salatu wasalam, in the hadith narrated by Imam Muslim, وَالَّذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدِهِ لَيَأْتِيَنَّ عَلَى النَّاسِ زَمَانٍ لا يدري القاتل في أي شيء قتل ولا يدري المقتول على أي شيء قتل. This great hadith from the Prophet ﷺ, he's saying, he's swearing by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that a time would come on people in which the killer does not know why he is killing, and the killed would not know why he's being killed. And you see that in so much great details of wars and things like that. Find a person going and killing innocent people without knowing why he's doing this. It's just part of making or fulfilling his job. He thinks that way, but he does not know why he's killing those innocent people. That's one of the signs of the hour. While the killed does not even know why he's being killed or bombed and things like that. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save us and to save the Muslims from all kinds of afflictions and tribulations that would occur to them. And the fitan or the tribulation has been happening since after the time of the Prophet ﷺ, and this is actually the sunnah of Allah, the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that he tests people and to see who is steadfast. And the reason for fitan to occur is that the believers would show their trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that the groups will be divided and people would appear on their reality. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, مَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيَذَرَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ عَلَىٰ مَا أَنْتُمْ عَلَيْهِ حَتَّى يَذَا خَبِيثًا مِنَ الطَّيِّبِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would not leave people the way they are unless he would divide and he would make those who are trustworthy, those who are trusting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and being truthful in their religion, they would prevail. How? By the trials and afflictions, because the Muslim will be steadfast in these trials and afflictions, and those who are not really strong Muslims, they would fail in these types of trials, and they would follow the non-Muslims or renegade from their religion or leave it and think that it's hard to follow and things like that. But the Muslim is steadfast in his religion, And that's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests the believers by having these trials and tribulations. Also, the Prophet showed us how to react according to these fitnas and trials and things like that. Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu, one of the Sahaba that narrated so many ahadith that talks about the signs and the things that would happen in the future. And he said that people used to ask the Prophet about the good, and I used to ask him about the evil things, so that I do not fall in it. And he said, Ya Rasulullah, O Prophet of Allah, we were in jahiliyyah, we were in ignorance, and we were in evil, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought this khair, this religion to us, this great thing to us. فَهَلْ بَعْدَ هَذَا الْخَيْرِ مِنْ شَرٍ. If there is any evil comes after this good that we are in now, the Prophet said, Na'am, yes. So Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu, he asked, وَهَلْ بَعْدَ ذَلِكَ الشَّرِّ الْخَيْرِ. And if there is any good after the evil, he says, yes. And with smoke, that means it's not real pure khair, it's not real pure goodness, but it would be a good with some bad with it. So he asked the Prophet ﷺ, and what is this smoke in it, or what is this unclear thing in it? The Prophet ﷺ said, قَوْمٌ يَهْدُونَ بِغَيْرِ هَدِيهِ. There are Muslims that are seeking guidance by other than the guidance of the Prophet ﷺ. You would see in them things that you know and things that you do not agree with. It means there will be some Muslims who follows other than the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, innovating the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you would see them doing things that are according to the religion, but you see them doing things also that is not according to the religion. They have certain things, but they are lacking a lot of things because of their innovation and seeking guidance by other than the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu, he asked him, فَهَلْ بَعْدَ ذَلِكَ الْخَيْرِ مِنْ شَرٍ. If there is after this khayr, after this goodness, there is an evil, he says, yes. Na'am. Du'ayatun ala abwab jahannam, callers on the gates of hellfire. Min man ajabahum qadafuhu fiha. Whoever answers them, they would throw him into the hellfire. So he asked the Prophet ﷺ, explain them to me. So the Prophet ﷺ said, hum min jildatina wa yatakallamuna bi alsinatina. He said, they are among us and they speak the same language that we speak. So when he asked him, the Prophet ﷺ, what do you order me to do when I reach these types of people, this time of age? He said, تَلْزَمُ جَمَاعَةَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ وَإِمَامَهُمْ. You should stick to the Muslims, stick to the group of the Muslims and their leader. So he asked him, what if they didn't have a jama'ah? What if they didn't have a group or a leader? So he said, عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ, then you boycott and you leave all these types of groups, even if you have to stick and bite on a tree, till death comes unto you on when you're in that state, being steadfast in the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the times of fitan. So the way to save ourselves from fitan is to stick to the Qur'an and the Sunnah, and stick to the scholars, those who call them to the Qur'an and the Sunnah, and follow the religion the proper way of the Muslims. So many different hadith about fitan and tribulation and how the Prophet ﷺ has warned us from it, and if a person is being steadfast, then that's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants for the person to do. But be aware of the tribulation that fitan. And he said, alayhi salatu wasalam, a day would come that the best of the wealth of a person is the wealth when he takes his sheep and go out in the desert, being away from the fitan and tribulations of that would happen among people. Also, there's different hadith that would mention about the origins of the fitan, the tribulations, and where do they come from. And the Prophet ﷺ, he has said, from the east, basically. And also, one of the signs of the Day of Judgment is people that are not up to their responsibility will be in charge. That means the people that are in charge of the Muslims will be not the ones that are capable of being in charge, but rather the ones that are do not deserve to be in charge of the Muslims. The Prophet ﷺ said in the hadith, when the Bedouin came to him and he asked him, when is the hour? And the Prophet ﷺ afterwards, he answered him, this hadith narrated by Imam al-Bukhari, إِذَا ضُيَّعَتِ الْأَمَانَةِ فَانْتَظِرِ السَّاعَةِ قَالَ وَكَيْفَ إِضَاعَتُهَا قال إذا وصل الأمر إلى غير أهله فانتظر الساعة. الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم, when this Bedouin asked him when is the hour, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم told him, when the trust is being lost, that means there is no trust among people, then wait for the hour, that means it's the sign of the hour. So he asked the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, and how can it be lost? The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, when the matter of the Muslims are given to those who are not capable of running it, meaning not being responsible or not being up to the responsibility that they would be given. And this actually happened, that it's happening when the ones that are in charge of the Muslims are not the ones that resemble the Muslims and supposed to apply the rulings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and being among those who spread justice and things like that on earth. Also the Prophet explained how to react towards these types of things when the Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, he narrated from the Prophet that he said, سَيَكُونُ عَلَيْكُمْ أُمَرَاءُ يُؤَخِّرُونَ الصَّلَاةَ عَنْ وَقْتِهَا وَيُحْدِثُونَ الْبِدَعَ, that among you there would come leaders that would make the prayers late from its prescribed times, and they would introduce innovations in the religion. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, he then asked the Prophet what should I do then? The Prophet told him, تسألني ابن أمي عبد كيف تصنع, you're asking me, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, you're asking me what to do? Prophet as if he was surprised, how can you ask such a question like that? It's a very known answer to it. Then he said, لا طاعة لمن عصى الله, there's no obedience to those who disobey Allah. No obedience for disobeying Allah. Somebody's ordered to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there's no obedience in it. Because the obedience is only to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and no obedience except for the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Different things about the corruption by the end of the life and closer to the hour, and how that in the hadith of Jibreel alayhi salam, when he was asked about, when he asked the Prophet about the signs of the hour, the Prophet said that that you would see the barefooted, the naked, they would be competing with one another in making buildings and tall buildings and things like that. It's also one of the signs. And also one of the signs that all the different nations will come and attack the Muslims and with all of them surround the Muslims and try to fight them and attack them. And that's something that has been happening, and you see it all over the world actually. And this hadith was narrated by authentic hadith by Abu Dawood and Imam Ahmad, and Shaykh al-Albani rahimahullah has authenticated it. The Prophet said in the hadith, يُوشِكُ الْأُمَمْ أَن تَدَاعَ عَلَيْكُمْ كَمَا تَدَاعَ الْأَكَلَةُ إِلَى فَصَعَكِهَا, that the nation would gather around you, meaning the Muslims, and would come and attack you like a hungry animal would do to its food. So one asked the Prophet وَمِنْ قِلَّةٍ نَحْنُ يَوْمَئِذٍ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ, is it because we'll be outnumbered by the disbelievers? He said عليه الصلاة والسلام, بَلْ أَنْتُمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ كَثِيرٍ, but he said on that day you'll be so much, there'll be so much of you. وَلَكِنَّكُمْ غُثَاءَ كَغُثَاءِ السَّيْلِ, but you're like the foam of the sea. You have no power, you have no, there's no benefit of your number because you're so much of you, but you're all weak. ولكنكم غثاء كغثاء السيل ولا ينزع عن الله من صدور عدوكم المهابة منكم ولا يخفن الله في قلوبكم الوهن, and Allah will take from the hearts of the disbelievers, your enemies, will take from their hearts the fear of you, and He would put in your heart الوهن, the word الوهن, weakness. But then they asked the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, what is الوهن, what is this word الوهن, what does it mean? He said عليه الصلاة والسلام, حب الدنيا وكراهية, the love of this dunya, the love of this world, and the hatred of death. That you Muslims, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put in your heart this feeling of that you love this world more than the hereafter, and you would just like to die for the sake of Allah, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would make the disbelievers gathered around you, and they would cause you so much trouble and tribulation because of your hearts are not being attached to the hereafter. Your hearts are not being attached to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but rather attached to the worldly gains and wanting to have the fun in this world and not, giving one's life for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and applying one's religion and having the heart attached to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, knowing the reason why we've been created and giving oneself and one's time and one's wealth for the sake of Allah to make the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala superior. And that is the goal of the Muslim, is to live for his religion, not to live for his own self. And knowing that if he lives for his religion for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant him Jannah, everlasting enjoyment with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is because of the Muslims. What happens to the Muslim is because of them, is because of their being away from the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also the Prophet ﷺ mentioned about certain things that would happen to the Muslim, disfigurement, disformation, punishment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when Muslims would commit certain things. As he said in the hadith in Mu'jam al-Tabarani, and it's an authentic hadith, that the Prophet ﷺ said, سَيَكُونُ فِي آخِرِ الزَّمَانِ خَطْفٌ وَقَذْفٌ وَمَدْخٌ إِذَا ظَهَرَتِ الْمَعَازِفُ وَالْقِنَاتِ وَاسْتُحِلَّتِ الْخَمْرُ. That there will be, at the end of the day, there will be disfigurement, there will be punishment, there will be destruction if the musical instruments appeared, and if the women singers appeared, and if alcohol or beverages like with alcohol drinking will be made permissible. If these three things happen, there will be more destruction and more disfigurement, more disformation because of the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When there are more people are busy with their lusts and desires and disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is a bad sign of the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When the musical instruments will be so much of it, when the women singers, when the alcohol is being permissible among the Muslims, or be made permissible, when people with increase in drinking alcohol and disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would send punishment on them. Also, one of the signs of the hour, I don't want to make it long, inshallah, we'll continue tomorrow, but one of which is that people would say salam to one another, to those who only know them. You know that salam, greeting the Muslim, is one of the rights of the Muslims, and the Muslim greets whoever he knows and whoever doesn't know about the Muslim. And that's actually something that the Prophet ﷺ had mentioned, that spreading salam, spreading the greetings, it's one of the ways to enter Jannah. But one of the signs of the Day of Judgment is that people would only say salam to those who know them. That's actually happening among the Muslims. But because the Muslims are supposed to give salam to all the Muslims, not just to the ones that they know. The Prophet ﷺ said, إِنَّ بَيْنَ أَلَيْهِ سَاعَةَ اسْتِيمَ الْخَاصَةَ. This is narrated by Imam Ahmad, in this hadith, that before the Day of Judgment, only the people that know one another would make salam to one another, and also merchants or trade would be so much of it, to the extent that the wife would help her husband for his trade. And of course this is not a bad sign, but it's something, a sign that would be signs of the hour. There'd be so much trade, and there'd be so much trade in the world and among the Muslims and things like that, and there'll be so much cutting of the kinship and giving, lying when testifying, and keeping the truthfulness of when someone would give an oath or something like that, and وَظُهُرُ الْقَلَمْ. Prophet ﷺ said one of the great miracles of the Prophet ﷺ, predicting of what happens in the future, he said والسلام, and the tent will be so much, meaning writing, will be so much all over the world, there will be so much writing, and that is actually something that is happening. One last thing before I finish, is that one of these signs that the absurd person would speak about the matters of the people. That means he'd be in a high position. It means people in high position will be not necessarily the best among the people, but rather the people that are ignorant among them. As the Prophet ﷺ, when he talked about the Day of Judgment, or the signs of the Day of Judgment, that the liar would be made truthful, and the truthful would be called a liar, And the one that is deceiver would be given the trust, and the trust will, you know, the trustworthy will be said that he's not trustworthy and things like that. And he says, well, تُمُفِيهَا الرُّوَيْبِضَ, and الرُّوَيْبِضَ will speak at that time. So he was asked, عليه الصلاة والسلام, who are the رُوَيْبِضَ? He said, الرَّجُلِ التَّافِهِ يَتَكَلَّمُ فِي أَمْرِ الْعَامِ, the absurd person, the ignorant person, would speak in the important matters of the Muslim. That means the one in charge of the Muslim will be basically the, not the ones that are capable of doing so, but rather the ones that are absurd or ignorant and things like that. And the last hadith, the last sign, is the sign where the Prophet ﷺ mentioned in Sahih Muslim. He said, two types of people of the hellfire I did not see, which is one of the signs of the hour. People would have whip, meaning beating people with it, like the tails of a cow, and they would beat people with it, and women that are wearing clothes, but rather that are naked while they're wearing their clothes, meaning they're wearing tight clothes that would show and reveal more than what it covers. When they walk, they you know, walk in a way that would show their beauty. On their head, كأسنمت البخت المائلة, like the hump of a camel. I believe this hadith is a famous hadith, that their head, meaning their hairstyle, would be like the hump of the camel, having their hairstyles with different types of styles. Prophet ﷺ said they would not enter Jannah, and they would not smell its fragrance. And the fragrance of Jannah is from such and such distance. Meaning, that's one of the signs of the hellfire, is that women would not wear their hijab and not cover the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted them to cover, but rather they would make certain hairstyles and show it to others, or to men they're not supposed to show these things to them. And also people, they would beat others with these types of whips, of the, like the tail of a cow, short whips, and you see that actually basically in the Muslim land and other than the Muslim land. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save us from afflictions and tribulations, and to be steadfast in the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the savior of the fitan and the tribulation is the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallam, and the victory of a Muslim is to die in a state of Islam. That is the victory of the Muslim, and the Muslim should have always glad tidings and good news that Allah's religion will prevail. And the Prophet ﷺ mentioned the authentic hadith, which is a great hadith from the Prophet ﷺ, that he said, تَكُونُ النَّبُوَّةُ فِيكُمْ مَشَاءَ اللَّهُ أَن تَكُونُ, that prophethood would be among you as long as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wished it to happen. Then it will be lifted when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wishes to happen by the death of the Prophet ﷺ. Then it will be khilafa rashida, will be a righteous khilafah, leadership, on the footsteps of the Prophet, as long as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wished it to happen, and then it will be lifted, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wished it to be lifted, and then it will be an inherited kingdomship, meaning that the son will take the kingdom of his father, and so on and so forth, till Allah wished it to happen, and then it will be mulkan jabriyan, there will be ruling among the Muslims by force, and that's actually where we're living now. This is the era where we live in. And then the Prophet ﷺ said, ثُمَّ تَكُونُ خِلَافَةً رَاشِدَةً عَلَى مِنْهَاجِ النَّبُوَّةِ, then it will be a righteous, guided khilafah, ruling of the Muslims, applying the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by the footsteps of the Prophet ﷺ. So the good news is that Islam will prevail, the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will prevail. But all the honor is for the ones that work for the religion of Allah. If we refuse to, then Allah will exchange us, whether it's by something that somebody else or from our offspring. But the victory of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has to come. But as Muslims, we should put our effort in trying to fulfill the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, call others to the religion of Allah, be patient in our religion and be steadfast in our religion, and calling others to the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that the biggest victory is to die in the state of Islam. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept our deeds. And inshallah, if Allah give us life tomorrow, we'll talk about the signs that didn't occur yet, of the minor signs, and then maybe you can start on the major signs. JazakumAllah khair, wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa barakatuh. If there's any questions, please go ahead.